Don Duck hobbles around his apartment in Ho Chi Minh City's suburban 7th District, looking for a photograph. He's just back from having an operation at a nearby hospital.
Be patient.
The 63-year-old Duck reports for local Toy Tray newspaper. He points to the imagey shot of his hospital room.
What was shining on the floor?
The photo shows glimmering tiles. The floor is covered with water.
The flooding at 9 p.m. in my hospital room. And we had to endure 3 consecutive nights this flooding.
Duck's hospital visit happened during a full moon, high tide. Local rivers and canals, swollen with rainwater, often break their banks then. That water used to expand into natural floodplains along the Mekong Delta region. A ride from Duck's apartment to the heart of the city reveals most of that green space is paved over. Thousands of motorbikes and more cars pack modern highways. This 6-mile drive can take 40 minutes in traffic. Looking out the car window, an endless line of cinder block buildings hug the road. They house businesses and families and form a kind of city-wide wall. So much concrete means floodwaters have nowhere to sink in.
The water has its home. And now our home, it used to be, is home. And if we fight back, one day you will lose.
Dr. Ho Long Phi is the director of Vietnam University's Center of Water Management and Climate Change. Dr. Phi says Ho Chi Minh City's rise to megacity status has coincided with severe weather shifts. Dry seasons are more dry, and the rainy season, which typically runs from May to October, is longer and more intense.
On the rainy season, we observe more than 50 rainfall events that surpass the transit capacity of the infrastructure.
It's during these heavy rainfall events you see Ho Chi Minh residents waist-deep in floodwater, trying to get to school or work. An Asian Development Bank report lists it as one of 10 cities most vulnerable to climate change. One of the reasons Ho Chi Minh is in trouble is the city sits precariously at or just below sea level. And dikes built by local officials and nearby farmers have restricted the Saigon, Dong Nai, and Ben J rivers. Dr. Phi says as a result, the city is both sinking and flooding.
Higher rainfall, higher runoff, but lower absorption capacity, infiltration rate, also water level increasing, that land subsiding.
He laughs at the overwhelming size of the problem. Dr. Phi says many proposed solutions involve a lot of engineering, a lot of infrastructure, and a lot of money. Phi wants to see a balance of top-down engineered answers and community-based solutions. Citizens have to be proactive, he says.
They will adapt, and they will change their livelihood. They will negative side. They can move, resettle themselves.
In 2014, Ho Chi Minh City experienced multiple storms that dropped more than 4 inches of rain in 3 hours. That's only supposed to happen once every 5 years. This weather shift especially impacts lower-lying, working-class neighborhoods like Alley 162, which sits off a major thoroughfare on the city's south side. A woman in the iconic Non La conical bamboo hat prepares noodles at her wooden cart at the entrance to the narrow street. Across the alley, a small cell phone stand is opening. The adjacent wall is stained by a water line left by a recent flood. It sits about a foot and a half off the ground. A man pushes a wheelbarrow full of bricks into the alley. It's a concrete maze of small homes and businesses. If not for some hanging plants and colorful laundry drying on outside lines, the entire scene would be gray. The wheelbarrow stops in 47-year-old Cao Bao Tin's living room. Cao's in the middle of his own flood prevention project.
4 years ago, I raised the floor once, like more than 1 foot. But now the water kept coming in. That's why I decided to raise the floor again.
A nearby main thoroughfare was recently raised by the city because of flooding from local canals. That stormwater flowed down into Cao's neighborhood and his house, destroying some of his clothes and his TV. Cao says every time he raises the floor, it costs him $500. That money would normally go towards his kids' education. A few years ago, Cao's neighbor, Wing Tan Swan, saw his home flood up to his knees. The 60-year-old tractor mechanic said he reached his limit.
Chú thấy 7 người con lận chứ bộ.
Dealing with flooding, of course, is my responsibility. I'm a father of 7, so I have to take care of them.
Wing spent $30,000 to raise his house up 4 feet. From his living room, he literally looks down at his neighbors.
People in the market, they said, wow, is this guy crazy? Why is he so arrogant? Then later on, they found out that I was right. Just 3 years later, after I built this hall, they raised the street again.
Wing says he knows most of his neighbors can't afford this extreme solution.
The materials are expensive, and the people here like mostly are poor people. So many of them like either they raise like you know just a little by little.
On a wider, holistic scale, the Vu Trong Nha architecture firm also explores adaptive solutions to flooding. White paper renditions of building designs line the office walls. The young staff of architects are also decked out in white. It's the dress code in a work environment that requires staff to meditate twice a day. Founder Vu Trong Nha is one of Vietnam's few green architects. He points to a design for a low-rise apartment complex called House for Trees. The stylish buildings are made from local materials. Trees and plants line the roofs and outside walls.
Now, it covers all like this. You are living in the park.
The House for Trees buildings absorb rainwater instead of pushing it back into the streets. Vu says with worse floods every year and only 1 square meter of green space per person in Ho Chi Minh City, it's time for city leaders to embrace his approach.
I think the biggest impact is should be from the government. They should release regulation to ask people, if you don't do green roof, we refuse the permission for the house. So, and then automatically you have all green roof in the city.
To press his point, Vu started a one-man letter-writing campaign to get local zoning laws changed.
I'm writing a letter almost every week to the government, but still no answer.
Ho Chi Minh's People's Committee, which serves as the local government, is making some strides on the city's water problem. It started a climate change department and developed an action plan, but progress is limited to research and awareness campaigns. They say they don't want to alarm citizens about the potential impact of climate change. It takes a ferry to get to Ho Chi Minh's remote Can Jo area, which sits southeast of the city on the banks of the South China Sea. Some scientists say more frequent storm surges and predicted sea level rise make Can Jo an Achilles heel for the city. Off a narrow dirt road sits a small white government building. The Vietnamese flag, red with a gold communist star, flies out front. More than 70 varieties of mangrove plants with their twisting roots thrive here. They serve the same function as wetlands, but they're trees, not grasses. The Can Jo Mangrove Research Center was established almost 4 decades ago by Lee Duc Thuan. In Lee's one-room office, a dusty, struggling fan offers some respite from 90-degree weather. An admitted chain smoker, he lights a cigarette and tells the story of how he got here.
When I was young, I studied film director. At that time, no university for the film director.
In the early 70s, Lee Duc Thuan was a film student in what was then Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam. U.S. forces were fighting to maintain the Can Jo area, a coveted passageway to the sea.
Maybe more than 1 million gallons of toxic chemical sprayed in this area by airplane, and most of mangrove be destroyed.
After the communist takeover of South Vietnam, Lee got involved in a youth volunteer force. Despite having no forestry experience, he found himself in charge of a program to regrow the Can Jo mangrove forest. Lee hired local labor and replanted around 10,000 acres of mangrove trees the first year. After 20 years, the local ecosystem was restored.
Big natural wall to protect the Ho Chi Minh City from the storm. And some big storm come to the coastal zone of Vietnam, but Can Jo and Ho Chi Minh City, it not affected so much because within that natural green wall.
But Lee's big green mangrove wall is now facing new threats. A slight rise in sea level could affect the brackish water balance that mangroves thrive on. If it gets too salty, the trees won't survive. Without those roots, the land underneath subsides, giving seawater and storm surges easier access to the city. Lee still relies on local labor to help him keep track of the forest. His researchers say the water salinity balance is intact.
And they know the sea level rising in this area, it not us so much, so the mangrove can help them protect the land.
The other threat to Canjo's forest is Ho Chi Minh's population. City officials are looking for new areas to build housing.
The government would like to move around 400,000 people come to this area from the core of the city, move out to the outskirts of the city.
But Lee says he's convinced the government, for now, that cutting down mangroves to put up high-rises is nearsighted. Vietnam University scientist Dr. Ho Long Phi says Lee's efforts to protect Canjo's forest are important, but betting on mangrove trees as a defense mechanism is precarious.
We hope that they can protect us, but can we protect them to protect us?
For his part, Dr. Phi is busy creating a climate change park at Vietnam University. Lab facilities will be built using green and blue infrastructure, and researchers will develop community outreach techniques for climate change and business plans for new green technologies.
And we use it, we live with it, and we test it. And we use it like a demo.
Dr. Phi points out that his city's most recent master infrastructure plan, finished in 2001, cost billions and is already obsolete. Invest some money in infrastructure, Phi says, but know that you'll have to adapt whatever you build.
We know, we accept that it could be obsolete in the future, but we also prepare for the modification, expansion, extension with some flexible component.
While Dr. Phi retreats to his lab to create his green vision, wealthy developers are busy expanding their own gray vision for Ho Chi Minh City. The view from the 23rd floor of journalist Don Duck's modern high-rise, where we started our tour, looks out over a mixture of in-progress skyscrapers and soon-to-be-developed farmland.
I love my city. I love this street. I love all those towers. But I understand what is the dark side of those towers. How many millions of concrete. When people say, oh, wonderful. Oh, we are like New York City.
Duck opens the real estate section of the local newspaper and shows an advertisement for a nearby development called Central Park. The artistic rendering is a replica of Midtown Manhattan. Thanks to projects like this, Duck's district has a projected $1 billion price tag for flood damage by 2050. Duck says Ho Chi Minh City is in serious need of a leader.
My mayor, in my dream, he should be smart enough to say no to those guys of poaching. Hey, man, with all this concrete block, where the water will flow.
Duck even has a particular hero in mind. He wants the reincarnation of Baron Haussmann. That's the Paris mayor who brought sewers and boulevards to the City of Light in the 19th century. But Haussmann didn't transform Paris alone. He had a team. And with any luck, a similar group is forming in Ho Chi Minh, searching for ways to save the city they love from both natural and human disasters. I'm Jesse Hardman, reporting from Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam.